morning.
Hello.
Hi. Can I take my top off? Hi. So, there are too many things to talk about, okay, when we're talking about this any time you spend a few days with two parents and that atmosphere, you can come back with many, many thoughts, many feelings, many things that move you and go, oh, gosh, it should be like this, and this should happen, and that should happen, yeah? But first, I want to, before I give it any, like, reflect something about the meeting, I want to talk about some thought I've been thinking about for quite a while now, and I you know, true parents really kind of help me understand it better, okay? And this is a question I ask when I taught this marriage course at college last month. Halfway through the course, I asked, "What is the most important thing for you? Yeah, when you get to the age of 70 years old, what do you want from your life? You know, what do you want? Ladies here, do you want to say, oh gosh, I was chased around by the most handsome men in Finland? Is that important? When you're 70 years old, can you say, my life has gone, but I was chased around by the most handsome men? Is that important? I mean, is that important? That's the question, yeah? Because many of the young people today, you know, many of the young girls, they like to be chased around by, you know, they would like to be, the adverts and things like that. So the question is, what is it when we're 70? When we're 70, what is the most important thing to have?
Good grandchildren.
Good grandchildren. There we go. Good grandchildren. Thank you. Okay. Lovely grandchildren. Yes, well, I can say that. Yeah, we can say, if I stand there with my beloved wife and I look and I see my children, and they have lovely families, and they have children and my grandchildren, I can be proud of them. We can look at that and feel a certain sense of pride. Yeah, a certain feeling of, that was a good life. Me and my wife or husband have given life and good life to the next generation and the generation beyond. Yeah. And when I asked my students, well, which is more important? I asked my students, who wants to be like really good in society? Who wants to become a boss or a, you know, leader or something? You know, some of them put their hands up, and I said, okay, well, which is more important? Which is more important, to get rich? If you had one choice, be really rich, to be successful in business or politics or something, to achieve something, or to have a really good family with great grandchildren. And I asked these young people to think about this for a few minutes, and I asked them then put their hands up. And there were 18 students. Okay. Now, how many put up their hands to say, oh, when I'm 70, I'm the most important thing is to be rich? How many put up their hands? Nobody. No one stuck their hand up, okay? And I said, okay, who was really successful? They didn't have such a good family, but they were really successful in business and whatever. How many put their hands up? Just one. So the other 17, these are young people, average age 22, said the most important thing in my life, the most important thing is to raise a good family. Is to have a good family. Yeah. So this is what True Father is talking about in this speech. He says, this is who we are as human beings. We cannot escape this. To have a good family. A family that we feel, you know, has meaning. It gives all our meaning to our life. You might say, a large part of our meaning. If we do nothing else but have a good family, we can still feel that was a good life. Okay? So even if you go out and be successful in society, but you don't have a good family, at the end of your life, you might be able to say, well, I did something for other people. And then you can have a kind of good feeling. It's okay then. But it's not as deep as looking and saying, this is my family, and I'm really happy about it. So this is why Father says, this is why we have to go back to being true sons and daughters of God, because this is our main purpose, yeah? This is our main purpose of life. The main way we find meaning, the main way we create new history, by making a better family than our parents did, and then our children make better families, and our best. And then as we grow, we go back to the ideal world that should have been. So, we have this paragraph, this give and take, okay? And often I feel like we don't, Father got upset recently, once about a few years ago, because people were talking about give and receive action. Give and receive action, like, because I give somehow and then it causes a response and this kind of thing, and love is given and beauty is returned and whatever. They said, look, give and take is too strong. We should take. Let's have give and receive. You're giving and receiving. And Father said, no! It's not giving and receiving. It's give and take. And this is what this 70-year-old feeling is. I gave my best. I gave it. And because I gave my best and I found true love with my wife and husband, I found out how to build a good family. I gave my best. I can take this feeling of ownership, of kingship. I can call myself a king or a queen. Because I know how to build true love with my wife. I know how to do it. Or I know how to build true love with my husband. And I know how to raise a good family. I know it. And so I am a king of love. A king of a family. Or this is my kingdom. My little kingdom. It's a small kingdom, but it's my kingdom. It is this take, this ability to take this feeling of pride, of achievement, that my life has been worthwhile. It's been a good life. So it is. It's, and this is the first foundation. This is a husband and wife. Yeah? Or wife and husband. It's either the other way around. Yeah? And it can be either way. Because all the research shows, if one person in the family gives properly, if one of the partners gives properly, becomes a perfect plus, then the other will naturally become a perfect minus. The other will naturally become fulfill their role. Over time, it may take years, but if the perfect plus is there, the perfect minus will be born. So this is what Father's been saying. He's been saying, if I'm the perfect plus for humanity, yeah, the minus will come. The minus will, humanity will fall into place. Yeah? So this is our goal. This is our first goal. This is our first take. Our ability to say, I know how to love my wife or husband. And at the end of 70 years old, you look at a person in the eye and say, I love you more than I ever did, to be able to take that love. Yeah. And that is also true love. Yeah. And then, of course, the next give and take is with children. Yeah, as a parent, you give to your children. And if you give good love, if you give good love, true love, then they naturally fall into position as a true child. But even a child can make a parent good. If a child fulfills his position, and even if a parent isn't so good, But the child becomes a perfect positive and starts, say, studying and praying and thinking and helping the parents and being a good child. The parent sees, you are my Messiah. I can change. I can learn because of you. So all it takes is one person in the family to be a perfect plus. And then the rest can follow. The rest can grow. But it takes one. So what is it? So what is it that this give and take? What is the foundation? What is the foundation so that that can happen? So that in time, at the age of 70, you can say, yes, I am a king. Yes, I am a queen. Yeah? And Barbara and I were discussing this the other day. Anyway, I've been thinking about it for months now because I'm trying to teach these students. And Father was very, you know, he's very clear. He's very clear about this, yeah? You know, the fundamental thing is respect. It's respect. This is the fundamental of anything. You are my king. And you are my queen. And when you have a king and a queen, how do you treat, if you went to the emperor of Japan, how would you treat him? If I went to the Queen of England, how would I treat her? I would, if I even ever had a problem with her, with the Queen, I would say, oh, Your Majesty, I'm awfully sorry. I'm so sorry to bring this up. You're a wonderful Queen. And I really appreciate what you do here and here and here. But there's a small problem. Can I talk to you about it? We would talk respectfully. Our actions would be respectful. Our heart would be one of respect. And the fundamental problem in marriages today is this is missing. This is the one thing that destroys all the else, because it's the foundation. This is why we can't. This is the fall of man. This was what was lost at the fall. The position of king and queen. And we have not, in the fallen world, learned. We treat people at work better than we do our own spouse. At work we talk about money, and we can talk about it. Oh, how much money, we have a project, and this, and that, and the other. And we can talk about it without yelling, without screaming. When we come home, and we talk about money at home, we end up yelling and screaming. Do you understand? We treat people at work in the fallen world better than we do our husband and wife. And this goes all across the world. It's not just Finland or England or whatever. The attitude that you are my queen and you are my king is the one thing that true parents brought to marriage relationships. They said, he is a son of God. When you came blessed, he became a son of God. And when she became blessed, she became a daughter of God. And we forget that. We forget that we got that position through the blessing. And the only way we can build upon that, to build a true family, is if you treat each other like that. You treat each other with respect, deep respect. You are my son. You're my prince, my king, and you're my daughter. This position is higher than a king or queen. In the spirit world, he is higher than the Queen of England or the Empress of Japan. Because he's the son of God. He's been made so by true parents. And she's a daughter. And how much more we should treat people? How much should we treat? You know, if you went to see the Empress of Japan, how would you speak to her? Yoshizumi-san. Humbly. How low would you bow, Yoshizumi-san? When you came to speak to her, how low would you bow? Is this low enough? Or is it lower? How low do you bow to an empress? Like that. Oh, like this. Yeah? How low do you curtsy to the queen? Or the king, you know. Hello, my king. You know. This is the reality of the fallen world, yeah? And we are sons and daughters, and until we understand that, we cannot. If we don't treat each other, we're not, in a certain sense.
Stephen,
yes.
How do you start with respect in a marriage? Because I think that is really
how to start?
We can all agree.
How to start? Well, how does one, I mean, why do we respect the Queen? What, you ask yourself?
Because we're not married
to the Queen. I can respect the Queen because I'm not married to her. If I was married to her, I'd yell at her, yeah? Yeah? This is the question, yeah? How do you learn to respect your husband or wife, yeah? Yeah? Of course we can say there's the position. We can respect the king or queen because of their position. Yeah? That's all it is, in many ways. Yeah? The first thing is the position, to understand, oh gosh, I'm talking to the queen here. There's nothing else. It does, she doesn't mean she's a better mum. It doesn't mean she's a better, good at cooking, or good at anything better than anybody else. The fact is she has this position. And that just that position means, oh, hello, you know, hello king, yeah? It's to understand you have married a son or daughter of God. Through the blessing that happened. Yeah? And then the second way is that, the second thing is to develop the thinking. What is there to respect in this person? Why should I respect this person? Yeah? What are the other things that can support that respect? To see the good things. Darling, thank you so much for cooking. Thank you so much for sacrificing for God and Japan. Thank you so much for doing these little things for me every day, every week.
Wonderful children.
Yes, huh?
Wonderful children.
Wonderful children. Absolutely. There are a whole lot. If you really, really sit down and think about it, there must be 20 good things at least every woman is doing and every man is doing in a marriage, even though you may not, you may struggle with two or three of them. It doesn't stop the fact that they're doing 20 good things or have done 20 good things. So first is the position. I respect that position of you are my queen. And I speak to you like a queen. And the third thing is when you communicate in your heart, you have this, you have a way to communicate. Like if I went to the Queen, I would say, excuse me, Queen, thank you so much. Or excuse me, King, I really appreciate what you're doing here and here and here. I have a small problem. It is to this communication, it is the balance of communication, it is respectful communication. To understand that this, that if I'm going to get something achieved with this king or queen, I have to speak respectfully. If I cannot speak, if I do not have a strategy, a way of communicating respectfully, if all I can do is, hey king, why are you leaving your socks on the floor again? It kind of misses the respect, you know? Just something in the respect is gone. Yeah? It's another thing to say, darling, oh, you're working so hard recently, I really understand how hard you're working for others and whatever, but I have a small problem. You know, I'm really busy too, and your socks on the floor are kind of causing a problem for me, because do you understand? There's a respect from the position that two parents gave him as king and gave her as queen. That is my king or queen. The second is to understand in your thinking, to understand the goodness that this person is bringing into the world, the sacrifices. And the third is the communication. Through the communication, you transmit this respect. And what happens in the fallen world, is the reverse of those things. This king and queen becomes nobody after a few months or a few years. Yeah? The respect, the seeing of the constant offering of that person is not seen. Only what I'm doing. I'm doing all this stuff and he's doing nothing. You know? This kind of feeling can enter people's marriages. And so women, is more often that women 70% of the time that give up on men. What are you doing? I'm doing all this. But you're doing what? There's the lack of understanding of what the person is doing, the man is doing. And the third thing is the communication. How you say it. But the point is to find this, so there's this love and there's this attitude and this communication. And then if you do this, if you have this respect, if you can have this correct attitude and the correct communication, then you can start to see the other person becoming that person. All the studies show the people around you become who you expect them to become. They've done it on school children. As teachers, if you expect these children to behave, to become great students, if you have all that belief, the children pick it up and they study much better. If you believe they're not going to study hard, they won't study hard. It comes from a lot of the belief of the positive, of the plus. And so if you become the plus in your relationship and you have this attitude, the object will become automatically start to do their best. If I am a husband, I'm respected by my wife, and she communicates respectfully, I will start acting more like a true husband. If I am not respected by my wife, if I'm not spoken to respectfully, I'll say, why bother? I'm doing all this stuff. I'm working hard here and here, and she's still not happy. Whatever I do, she's never happy. Why bother? So you've got to, if you fulfill your role as daughter of God, and then you can get, eventually, over time, you see your husband raising, or other way around, you can get the take. I know how to love. I know how to bring true love into my relationship. And you have to have that. That's what true parents have. They know how to love. You have to know how to love this one person. It's not incredibly complicated when you really know about it. You just have to do it. So this is the fundamental thing, respect. And then we understand what is the difference. Well, on top of that, we have to understand one or two other things. It's not very complicated. Yeah? So the husband, he has certain buttons which God gave him, certain attitudes and feelings and connecting points. And his connecting point is being appreciated. A woman who talks respectfully and appreciates her husband will find her husband growing at an incredible rate. To give those two things to a husband, your position and respect, but appreciation. Thank you. Thank you so much for protecting the family. So much for working so hard for that. Thank you so much. You will find him, even if he's not doing enough housework now, if you give him that, in time he will say, darling, you sit down, you rest, I'll do it. But if you don't give that to him, if you don't give that respect and appreciate it to him, he'll always say, well, why bother? Whatever I do, she's never happy. You have to fulfill your responsibility, either as man. The woman, the man, the wife, what does she need? Yeah? Most often she needs some affection and conversation. To be talked to regularly. To have time together, just you and her talking. And affection. Okay? And if you fulfill, it's not very complicated. I show a bit of affection. I talk with my wife and I respect her. And in time, she blossoms. I respect my husband. I talk to him that way. I appreciate him and his efforts. It doesn't take both of you either. It does, although it's easier if both of you are doing this, it doesn't take both of you to do it. just one of you. If I am a husband, if my wife is causing, is kind of challenging me, if I am respecting her and giving this to her, within time she will return this. Other way round, as a wife to the husband. But the fundamental is respect. Okay. So the idea is that when you get to 70, you can look your wife in the eye and say something which brings tears to your eyes and her eyes. I love you so, so much. That is the take. It's the take. It's your life. You've learned how to love this one other person and raise them up, and you're raising each other up. Because you don't know how to, when you start your married life, I don't know how to be a husband. She doesn't know how to be a wife. But at the end of it, you should get that, I know how to do this. Yeah. That's what we want. Don't you? Who wants to walk along the beach with the sunset, hand in hand, with this wrinkly old person and say, I love you so much. Who wants that? We all want it. It's kind of like, if I ask my students, I say that same sentence to my students, they go, I say, what's the picture of true love at the age of 70? They say, walking on the beach, hand in hand, at sunset. It's like it's stuck in our subconscious, you know, born with this picture of sunset, water, waves, beach. It's very funny. Anyway. But this isn't the only take of life, yeah? Once you have this, you have your children. There's certain principles. There's a book, you know, they're called anybody know the book Horse Whisperer? Anybody heard it? Yeah, there's a movie. Okay, it's about a guy who learned to speak horse. He learned to speak horse so well, he still knows how to do it. And he teaches others, that he can get a wild horse, and within 3 days, without any fight with the horse, get a saddle on it and sit on it. He knows perfectly how to speak horse. He knows that by body language, movement, attitude, I'm speaking horse right now. And the horse completely understands him. This is my boss. I have to listen to him. Follow him completely. And he can do this with his whole body. He can take a wild thing and tame it within 3 days. Because he knows how to speak the language. And true love is like that. I understand the language of true love. It's not very complicated, but it demands respect. And to understand what I have to do so my husband understands that I respect him. And that is appreciation. The other way around is respect and affection and conversation. Okay? It's not always like this. I was talking to a couple in England the other day, and she said, well, I don't need to talk to him. And I talked to him, and he said, I really need to talk to her. Every day I come home from work, I just want to talk to her for 20 minutes. Which is normally what women say, you know. So one of you is a possible mother, you know, one of you has it in the family. But this is the take, it's the take, do you understand, of your life. And then you have your children. Do you know the principles of raising children? There's a few principles. There's respect, which is a fundamental thing, respect. And there are certain rules, we all know. And then there's a certain attitude of give, yeah? How to give true love. But then beyond that, so you, at the end of your life, you can, by practicing the principles, you have this tribe, this family. Yeah? And you have a take, you have this feeling of, I am a king. I am a king of love, or I am a queen of love. I know how to love. But of course, then you go beyond. You say, well, are we a family? And True Father says, you're not just for yourself. You have to learn the principles of loving the world, of restoring the world. So he talks about this. You have to go in and serve. Go down to the bottom and serve. go through some persecution, forgive, and then claim the victory. And then you go back again. Serve. Go through some difficulty. Come out the other side. And through this, you create this foundation. I know how to love the world. I know how to raise up the world. I know how to take the world with me and give something good to the world. And that's what Father's his whole life has been about. This take. Going on a condition, serving, going down to the very bottom and coming up again. And he says, now I'm a new level. I have more foundation, I have more power, I have more take, I have more kingship. I have got that kingship because of this and this and this. And this is the way I got it. It's a different principle. It's a different principle. Of course this involves service and respect. Father deeply respects all religions. Yeah? And all professors. He just shows that respect consistently. Okay? But he doesn't need to have shown their appreciated affection conversation. Yeah? There's some other things, rules at work there. Yeah? But the point is, there are certain principles to bringing victory. There are certain principles to bringing victory in your marriage. And you have to follow them. There's no other way. There's a principle of love. And the only love can exist under these circumstances. Respect. Can I have the attitude? And can I communicate it? True love cannot come under a, you know, you can have wonderful times, you know, wonderful times with your partner and do this and do that. But then you come home and then she says, to you. And what happens? All that wonderful time goes. Because the respect, the true respect wasn't there. You've got to have that foundation, and then anything else built on that is strong. If you don't have this, then it just falls to pieces. Chum, chum, chum. You build something, it falls down. So the Father wants us at the end of our life. Yeah? So look. And there's us, there's me and my wife, children, grandchildren. So this is one kingship and queenship, yeah? But also, to have this other area of life, yeah? Me, my wife, okay? We call three spiritual children, yeah? But something which gives us a foundation to say, I love this world. I know how to love this world. I have brought this world closer to God. This feeling of, I have learnt the principles of bringing some part of this world closer to God. Now, if you look at Father's words, he's always talking about how you make a foundation, how you serve, how you have to go from servant to servant, to servant, to stepson, to son, da 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 da. So this ability to have a foundation in your life, to take, I have, and this is the trial messiahship, yeah? This is what Father, he says, I'm a messiah, you're a messiah, you're a messiah, you're a messiah, you're all messiahs. And I want you to get that take. So at the age of 70, you can look at your kingdom. You can look with pride and say, I changed the world this way. So your tribal messiahship is take. Okay? Now, he gave us tribal messiahship back in 1993. This is 12 years ago. And some people took it seriously, and some people said, stop worrying about what is the movement doing, and what is the headquarters doing, whatever. And they went out and built their own foundation. They went out and said, I have to build this. And you see some of these people, I met some at the meeting, yeah? And they built something very substantial, very deep. And they could offer that to parents, offer that to humanity, offer that to God. But they weren't worrying about what the government, what the leadership was doing. They worried about, am I learning the principles of loving my world? Have I learned them? Yeah? Not, have the leaders learned them? Or something, yeah? But am I learning them? Have I practiced what Trufal was talking about? To build a foundation. So that when I'm 70, I can have my kingship. We're given a title, which is a profound, a really profound title. No one else, no other church in the whole of history has said, my members are messiahs. That's amazing. It's amazing. Full of messiahs. How many messiahs in the world? Oh, we got 50,000 messiahs, 70,000, 100,000 messiahs. That's an amazing concept. You know, the Mormon church says they are the chosen church, but they have messiahs? No. They don't have Messiah. We have Messiah. Because we're following the Messiah. Okay? So I want you to understand, this take is so important for your own victory in life. This own feeling. My life was incredible value. Yeah? Okay? This feeling of we achieve something. But of course, just to do this is hard. To do this is wonderful. In today's world, this is incredible. With so many fallen things going on. Just to do that, so to have that is absolutely wonderful. People are doing that, creating true love in their family. And creating true life and true lineage. Creating good, we can call the whole system, yeah, true love, true life. So what does this mean? I've learned to love. I've created true love. I know how to create true love. I know how to create good children. True children. And I know how to set up traditions in my home that will keep this going and going and going. So like the Jewish people. Why are the Jewish people still around? They're a small group. Because they have this lineage, this traditions. How can I set that up in my family so that my children inherit that and my grandchildren and my great grandchildren? Yeah. So just to do that actually is really amazing. Okay. But some people have the ability to do this as well, to offer something. Yeah, so that for the world beyond. Okay. And Father said that, you know, anyway. So this is your take. This is your life. And Father's talking about, you know, talks about this in his speech. Yeah. Okay. Okay. So he says, you young people, don't feel bad because I call you young people. You know very well I'm over 80. Look around you and try to find ways to protect your nation and the world. Yeah. Okay. So thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Stephen. And now we can have a few minutes with meditation and reflect upon this comment.